We opened the outreach here on the highway approximately 4 years ago. We started out with Sunday evening services and some times in the coffee house, and then Easter Sunday was our first Sunday. And as far as this particular location, we were 15 years over at the other location, closer to 12 Mile. But in this particular location and this new season that God had given me, when I took 2011, the year of 2011 off, and actually it's the only time in my life I've taken that much time and spent a lot of time in prayer and spent time in Colorado asking God what my autumn season of life should be, and had a strong sense that God wanted to birth something, and so grateful for what God's doing here and all the various outreaches. As many of you know, we're incorporated as Chapel Ministries Outreach. It's kind of a denomination as far as how we're set up. It's not a denomination, but it's kind of set up like one so that we can have a lot of branches under the ministry and do a lot of things. Hence the Haiti, CMO Haiti Ministry is under CMO, Chapel Ministries Outreach. If you were to see a chart or organization, we've got the Haiti Ministry. We hope to open the rescue resort before long. We're making a lot of progress on that. Work is going on these weeks on that. The biker ministry, we feel like God has a number of things in store. A lot of things have to do with timing. And we want to be in the center of God's timing. We don't want to rush anything, but I feel like God has a number of things in store for the biker ministry. The 12-step has been a great ministry, and God has used that tremendously. The Women Seeking God group, I'm encouraged with the women and the hunger. The mentoring group. We've taken a little break for summer during vacation season. A lot of these men have families, but don't take for granted when you have anywhere from 18 to 25 guys that'll come at 4:30 in the afternoon. They've worked all day. They haven't had anything to eat, and they'll stay till 7. And they're interested in growing, and they're interested in developing. And just a lot of neat things going on. And this ministry was birthed out of prayer, I can truly say that. Many of you have been prayer warriors, and we've appreciated that. I've needed more prayer as I've gotten older. And I believe the more we deal with principalities and powers, the more we need the support of prayer. It's been great to have the prayer tree here in the church, but then I have my own prayer circle of people that a contact and we have need of prayer. But in 2011, there was just a time of deep prayer. And that's when this ministry was birthed. And to be honest, I wasn't thinking that we needed another organization. There's all kinds of organizations. I'm kind of an anti-organization guy, to be honest. But I felt God spoke to me very clearly that we were to have something that was to be preparing for what's coming in the future. And I still feel that way, that we were to establish an independent organization and it be set up. We're not set up exactly like a church. We contain a church, but we're set up a little bit different way. And with the board of directors, and I felt it took a lot of time and prayer on even how we should set up. Lord, you know what's coming down the pike. You're the God who sees ahead, Jehovah Jireh. You're the one who knows what's coming down the pike, what's in the years ahead. Help us to make the right decisions. Do that in your personal life. Trust him with your future. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back, but he'll give liberally. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Come to God and ask for wisdom. We're facing some troubled times. I believe we're on the eve of the tribulation period. I truly believe that. I believe we're on the eve of the tribulation period. I've over the years asked God to make me very sensitive and keen in shepherding to where we are and what we should be about. I think that you can be about the wrong things. I think there's very sincere people. Let me say that again. I think there's very sincere people that mean well, that aren't always in tune with where we are and what's actually going on in the bigger picture. Don't say that arrogantly. Like, oh, well, he thinks he knows. He says others don't. The Bible says to beware in the last days, for many will be deceived. The key is become a person of prayer. Become a person of God's word in prayer. The people who become people of God's word in prayer are going to persevere no matter what happens. And I want to be in the mood God's in. You with me? I want to be in the mood God's in. I don't want to be dancing when I'm supposed to be crying. And I don't want to be laughing when I'm supposed to be weeping. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. There are seasons when certain things are to be emphasized, and there are seasons. I want to be in tune with that, and I believe it's only the Holy Spirit can show us that. And there's times when there's to be certain points of emphasis, and that's why we need local shepherds. Yes, men of great followings can be helpful. I mean that sincerely. David Wilkerson, I always had a lot of respect for. It was a man with great following, and they can speak very good things into your life. But the reason God has given us local shepherds, there's a reason. Is because your local shepherd, if he's a praying man, will be in touch with the principalities and powers that are operating in this area. There's a difference when you go to Haiti than there is here. There's different principalities and powers. There's different demonic forces. The Bible even speaks that the enemy has a kingdom. And I believe that God so designed us to have individual shepherds because your individual shepherd, if he's a praying man, will be in touch. The Holy Spirit will help him to be in touch with what's operating within this group or what's operating within. I believe that God will give Vince wisdom to know what's operating within 12-step. And as that meeting changes, and sometimes there's a different chemistry, if he's in touch and if he's spending his time in prayer, that's why you pray for your leaders, he'll be in touch with that change. You with me? Now, don't misunderstand that. The body works together. There can be men with great followings. I use David Wilkerson as an example that speak into your life and speak some good things. But you'll find that those men with great followings who really understand the kingdom will also say there's need for local shepherds. I have heard David Wilkerson say, you need a local shepherd. I don't know what's going on in Oklahoma at Durant. I don't know what's going on out in Kansas City in that particular area or what the devil might be trying to do in that particular area. But I want to be very in tune with what's going on in Miami County. Does that make sense? And I want to be in touch with that. What am I saying for myself and for you is become a person of prayer. Become a person of God's word. We are on the eve of the tribulation hour. We may have a burst of prosperity. I don't know. When they say peace and safety, beware, then come a sudden destruction. But we are headed for some difficult times. I believe that the rapture, I personally believe that as far as the rapture of the church, I believe in the rapture of the church, but I believe we're going to go through part of the tribulation period. You know that I believe that. Theologically, some believe that the rapture is before the tribulation period. I'm fine with that. I hope they're right. But I believe we're going to go through part of the tribulation period, and I think there's going to be a pruning and gleaning time, and I believe there'll be many people drawn when difficult times come. And I felt that maybe God is preparing us for that here. Lord, why do we need to make some of these preparations? Why do we need to increase our staff? Why do we need to do, and I don't know, but God just keeps saying, do it. Do it. And I believe that if there would be a national disaster, we'd have to have 2-3 services here. And I believe any church that preaches the truth would have that. It's not about us. It's not we're not being arrogant here, but churches that are known to speak the truth. And you know where they are. There are churches that are known about truth. Maybe we have a little different viewpoint on some things. Whoop-de-fizz. Doesn't make any difference. But the basic truth, we kind of have an awareness of churches that preach truth. And I believe as we move ahead and we're to dissolve the differences on minor things, but I believe foundationally we need to be very, very strong, and I believe we need to individually be people of prayer and God's word, which brings me to Isaiah 30:15. I have had this verse on my heart for 5 to 7 years. I said 5 years this morning in the office, and Pam pointed to a plaque that one of the girls that was at the rescue resort made for me, and the verse is on there, and that was 7 years ago, I believe. So I maybe it was more than five. I have never in my life had a passage of Scripture that has stayed with me like this one. Isaiah 30:15 says, in returning, and some translations say repenting, and I'll elaborate on that in a minute, in returning in rest, you will be saved. And I should have had the whole verse up here, but I thought I did, but I guess I don't. I'll quote it to you, unless you have it in front of you, Isaiah 30:15. I would encourage you to buy into this verse. And I believe it's for us in shepherding. God keeps bringing this back to me. And we're launching off the comments here that we're nearing the tribulation hour. I believe we're going to hit some difficult times. We want to be in tune with the Spirit. We want to be in the mood God's in. We want to be connected. I don't want to be dancing when I'm supposed to be crying. I don't want to be looking at something in a way that's not the way God feels about it. There's times when God is grieving over things. It says when he looked at the antediluvian world, the world before the flood, in the days of Noah, and it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It says that he looked down upon the thoughts of men's minds, that they were evil continually. The world was full of violence, and it says it grieved him that he had made man. I believe that a spirit-filled Christian who is founded in God's word and rooted in prayer, you're going to have some grieving when you see what's going on in our world today. Now, that needs to be balanced with the joy of the Lord. Don't misunderstand that. And seek out balanced teaching. Seek out balanced teaching. That needs to be balanced with the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But yet at the same time, my friends, if you are in tune with the Spirit and your eyes are truly open and you have the wisdom of God operating within you and you see what's happening in our world today, you have to have some times of sadness. If you don't, something's the matter. Come on. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept, and they didn't quite understand why he was so upset. And he said, how many times I would have called her to myself, but they wouldn't do it. And he cried over Jerusalem. If you are walking in the Spirit, there are going to be some times when you have sadness of heart. When you see what's happening around us and you see people that you love destroying themselves, you're going to have sadness of heart. But there's a balance there, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the cool thing about walking in the Spirit in your time with God is you'll have days when you'll have, George, you might remember the old song, you and I know a lot of the real old songs. We're not insinuating we're old at all, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you remember that hymn? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There'll be times when you have your prayer time and maybe a lot of things are going bad and several bills are due. You're not sure how you're going to pay them, and maybe some problems are happening at home, but you just have a joy in you and you'll even cry. Sometimes when I'm singing, I break and cry, and it's not I'm sad, I'm joyful. We're singing about amazing love, and I make eye contact with somebody in the congregation that has a horrendously horrible past, and we're singing about amazing love, and it just breaks me. It just breaks me. And the tears are tears of joy. So there's a balance there. What am I saying? How do I find that balance? How do I stay where I need to be? It's in communion with Him. Make your connection. Church is a supplement. If you're dependent on me to keep you fired up, I'm sorry, my friend. I don't have the energy for that. It takes all I got to keep myself on track. Church is a supplement. You got to have your own walk with God. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden, but Adam walked with God. Now, do we need to get together? Oh, absolutely. Fail not to assemble yourselves together all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's scriptural that we get together more as we near the coming of the Lord, because that coal that you take out of the fire and set by itself will cool off and grow dim very quick. But if it stays together with other hot coals, that whole bed stays hot longer, and we need each other. But your walk with God is the critical thing. Cultivate your walk with God. Your personal walk with God. Cultivate. Develop it. Set a place and a time to pray. You don't have to do it the way I do. You all know that I like to walk. I love nature. I connect with God through nature. I love to be walking before the sun comes up, and I certainly don't always do that. But I like to be walking before the sun comes up. There's something about hitting that spot over by the Eel River when the sun breaks over here in the eastern sky. It's just special. And sometimes in the dark, I'll turn and stand and just stand in the silence and enjoy the silence. Isaiah 30:15, in returning and rest, you will be saved. I don't believe I didn't have that up there. I should have had it up there the whole service. In returning and rest, you will be saved. How are you going to be saved? How are you going to get out of this mess? In returning and rest. Some translations say repenting and rest. Let's just stop and put a parenthesis and say something about that. Repenting means to turn around. The root word of return is turn. To repent means to turn around. Start over. Going to go back the other direction. He says, come back to me. So there's a sense in which they're both right in the translation. And in the more complex Hebrew word of the Old Testament, the word is both return and repent. But some of the newer translations pick one word or the other. In returning and rest, what is it saying? In this busy culture, anybody get tired of the rat race? Anybody get tired of having to be 10 places at once? Mike and I were just talking this morning. Love Mike and Marilyn so dearly. We got roots together. We lived neighbors when we were 19 and 20 years old in trailers over here in Mexico. Now, what was I going to say? There's that ADD, I need a vacation. Mike and I were talking about, as grandparents, we had the misconception that, oh, as you get older, hey, you have lots of free time. Ain't happening. More to do, and as there's responsibilities, and as you've gained wisdom, hopefully that's true with Mike and I, we're getting older, as we've gained wisdom, people tend to more want you involved in things. They invite you into things. Could you be on my board? Could you help with this? Could you help with that? I need your advice, your counsel, and the schedule can get busy. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that in this busy rat race we're in, keep returning. Keep returning. Kevin, Angie, keep returning. Your life's busy. You want to be a good father. You want to be a good mother. You want to be a good neighbor. You want to be a good employee. And the plate just keeps fuller. God always gives us grace to do the right thing. Keep returning to Him for rest. And taking that time. Have the guts to say no. Have the guts to say no. You can't do everything under the sun. How many of you know that I can't be pastor, be grandfather, be father, be neighbor, be president of the PTA, be a little, how many people know I can't do all that stuff? And if you're a person of integrity, people do want you for things. And that's flattering. Hey, would you be head of this, be head of this? I'm doing better at saying no, aren't I, Kathy? She's been telling me that for years. Doing better at saying no. Listen, I'm having a little fun with this, but this rat race is truly a rat race. And the world will just keep you busy around the clock. And the enemy knows he ain't going to get some of you to go back to the bars. Oh, you've been down that road? And you know that's a dead end straight, and he's not going to get you to go back there. So what he tries to do is clutter your mind and clutter your life so you're just like, forget it. Return. Turning. Repenting. Lord, they can all be running that way if they want to, but I'm not going to. I'm taking my time with you. Returning and rest. I text Joe the other morning real early. He said he'd get back with me. He was on his prayer walk. I saw you guys talking, so that's why I called. I'm getting ready to go away so I can cut up a little bit. Right? No, I thought it was cool the other day. I text you, and I was praying, and I text you, and Joe's the treasurer of our church and does a wonderful job. He's very particular and does an excellent job and manages the property here at CMO. And I text him, I'll get back with you, Tom, in a little bit on that. I'm actually on my walk right now. I'm like, yes. Yes. Pray that we, staff, board members, leaders, there's 30, 35 people involved in leadership in this church in some way or another. In the different ministries, you put it all together, I think there is 36, 35, 36, something like that. Pray that we'll keep our heads straight in this messed up world. That we'll return to the rest you find in the Lord. For it's in returning and rest you will be saved. Ben, Brant's drive you crazy. Some of you guys are in workplaces. Some of you gals are in workplaces. The demand for money and the pressure of an economy that's struggling, man, they got the hammer down on you. But you can do it. You can figure out a way. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it'd be worth it. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it'd be worth it. Figure out a way to reschedule in a way that you can return daily to the Lord in your time with Him. For in returning and rest, you will be saved. And you know what? I know that's true. Because I'll get the craziest concoction of an idea, and I'll say, you know what? I've got to stop everything. I got to spend more time in prayer tomorrow. Instead of walking my 5 miles, a couple hours, I need to walk 7 tomorrow. And I'll come back and have a whole different viewpoint. And I'll think, what was I thinking? Anybody have that? After you've prayed and rested and let yourself settle? Listen, I'm having fun with this, but I want to get across something serious to you. There is a spirit operating in this age. I'm talking about a spiritual force. I'm talking about a principality, a power. There is a spirit of confusion, the spirit of Babylon, mystery Babylon, Revelation. The spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit of confusion and it's a spirit of chaos. Anybody see it in the government? Chaos, absolute chaos. This is not just a physical condition. There is a spirit operating. I will not go into it this morning, but in Revelation it talks about the world religion, and I believe it to be the world religion, the great prostitute sitting on the horse and has the words written, Mystery Babylon. Babylon is rooted in the Tower of Babel. The word Babylon means confusion. And there is a spirit of confusion and chaos operating, and it's strong in America. You get sucked into it. I get sucked into it. Anybody see that happen to yourself? Return. Return. He straightens your thinking. Oh, we're all worked up in confusion and chaos, and we're making a mess in the family. We return and quiet our hearts, and pretty soon we're apologizing to our spouse. Pretty soon we're straightening out what we say. Pretty soon we're starting to be more careful with our mouth. Returning, he's out to destroy. The destroyer is at work. I'm on to something. This is a prophetic and spiritual thing. And shepherds are to be alerted to it. And I believe men and women who are truly seeking after God are seeing this condition. It's a day of chaos and confusion, and it's a spiritual thing. In returning and rest. Lord, I'm coming back to you. I don't have to watch the late show. I can go to bed at a decent hour and get up and spend an hour with God. If you will spend an hour with God in the morning, and you set your own times, I'm just picking that. And the reason I'm picking that is because I started with that. As a young man, I started with an hour. And then God spoke to me in Chicago when we were fighting principalities and powers. He spoke to me through Alberto Guerrero, a Spanish pastor. I was struggling terrible on the streets of Chicago. And I had prayed hard, and I had worked hard, and I had pedaled the bicycle. And I was struggling on the streets of Chicago with principalities and powers. I felt like the devil was right here in my face all the time. And it was a very evil place. We had people sacrificing chickens across the street at night. We had prostitution everywhere on the streets. And I felt the devil was right here. And that Spanish pastor looked at me, and he said, when I first came to the inner city, I had the same struggle you have. He said, double your prayer time. And I started doubling my prayer time, and I had a breakthrough. Then you bring a presence. Then the principalities and powers are pushed back. Are you with me? It pushes back the principalities. Intimacy and time with God. It's not about being a reverend. It's not about somebody putting you on a pedestal or what your name is or how many years you've been doing this. It's about time with God, and the presence of God dispels the enemy. And when I did that and doubled my prayer time, I noticed a difference on the street. And other people noticed it. I had people I'd never met before say they felt different when I came in the room. This isn't about me. We put people on pedestals, all kinds of things. It's in time with God. It's in intimacy, God. Returning. Returning. Get a little more discipline with your schedule. You do what you need to do. That's not my business. I don't get into all that. But what I'm to do is bring you the main things you need to do, and we need to keep the vision on track. And I believe God has put us here to reach people for Christ, but we've got to stay on track. And listen, when you have a presence about you because of your time with God, and if you spend time with God, you will begin sensing a presence with you, and others will sense it as well. Then when you put a bunch of those folks together that bring a presence, it puts a feeling even in a building. You with me? When you have several individuals who are walking with God that come and worship together, it brings a feeling to a building. And when people walk into the building, and we've had it happen, I'm sure there's other churches that have as well. People have come in, they've never been in a church before, and they walk in and say, oh my, well, actually had a text from a man last week that he said, I walked into the church 2 weeks ago, and he said, I felt love stronger than I have ever felt in my entire life. That's not about us, folks. Don't make that mistake. That's not about us. But it is about if you have an assembly or a core of people, and hopefully more than a core of people, but several people who are seeking to go to another level, and they're returning every morning or evening or whenever your time of day is, and they're spending time with God, they bring a presence. And the presence of God begins to accompany them. Moses came down off the mountain, his face was shining, he didn't know it. They've been in the presence of God. I'm trying to get you a hunger for it. Because I saw it modeled, and it gave me a hunger, and I chased it, and I caught it. And I want to see you have a hunger. But when you come together then and bring several people together that are walking with God, it creates a different feeling even in the building. Returning and rest, you will be saved in quietness and confidence will be your strength. That's the verse that I meant to have up there. In returning and rest, you will be saved. This has been on my mind for 5 to 7 years. Returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. Pastor, how are we going to make it? I see what's coming down the pike. I see what's happening. I see the chaos in our world. I see the financial crash and disaster that's coming inevitably. I know I can say that. In time. There might be little bursts of prosperity here or there, but when they say peace and safety, beware, because then comes a sudden destruction. We're nearing the tribulation hour, returning and rest. What's the opposite of rest? Restless. Restless. Oh, I'm just a mess. I'm just a mess. We don't have to be a mess. Boy, it was awesome 11 years ago in the hospital, bleeding between my teeth and out my nose. Capillaries had burst in my legs, and you guys were so faithful to pray for me. I'm as weak as can be. But God shows up. God shows up. It ain't about me. God shows up. If you walk with God and you get to your valley shadow of death, God will show up. I'm telling you, He'll show up. I'm so weak, you get to heaven here, I'll figure out how weak I am, it'll scare you to death. But you prayed for me, and we had done our homework. We had walked with God, and God showed up. And I had somebody say, how are you feeling about all this? And I remember smiling and saying, well, they took me down and put a port in this neck, and they put a Hickman port in this area of my chest, and they're starting chemotherapy. My white count's 137,000, and I'm bleeding most everywhere. But foundationally, sir, I am fine. I remember saying that. Do you know that you can face the valley of the shadow of death? What's the last enemy to be destroyed? Death. You know, you can face the valley of the shadow of death and be foundationally fine. And God will melt your fears. Opposite of rest is restless. We live in a time when people are so restless. Figure out a way to return. Thin out your TV time. Certainly thin out your internet time. We're going to start a group here, Vince, I think, on cell phone addiction. I think we should start a 12-step for cell phone addiction. Incidentally, don't anybody be offended, but we're going to go away, and I'm going to turn my phone off. And I appreciate technology, and it's good to be able to hear from Haiti in an instant and on WhatsApp, and it's good to be able to hear from you folks, and I love the ministry. I do. Don't misunderstand that. But I told the worship team this morning, I said, we got ways to get a hold of us if so there's an emergency, but I said, I just need to take a little break, and I'm going to turn my phone off for a few days, but we'll have adequate people in place, and we're certainly available for emergencies, and Guy and Vince and Howard and various other leaders will be ready in a minute to help and get a hold of us if need be. But I almost wonder if we don't need to have a support group for cell phone addiction. What's the opposite of rest? Restless. You know, we don't have to be in touch with everything going on in the whole world at once. You know that? We don't need to know all that. I'm not so sure God wanted us to. So I try to just set stuff up in doses that I can handle. I want to be informed. I want to be aware. I want to be a shepherd. I need to be in touch with what's going on in our world and community. I need to be in touch with that. God made us lights to the world, so we're part of this. But you got to return and come back out of it and step back out of it. And that's why you need a quiet place. Find a quiet place. Come on, figure it out. Oh, I had a guy say to me, oh man, my time with God is I listen to good Christian rock on the way to work every morning. Well, we play all kinds of varieties of music, and I enjoy a lot of those songs myself, but I'm telling you something, you got to quiet yourself at some point. Music can minister to you, but sometimes you just need to turn it off and quiet yourself and return to Him. Be still and know. That I am God. And there'll be an awareness of God come to you that'll clear up your viewpoint about your marriage like the binoculars, you know? It'll clear up that attitude at work and make you realize that it's really you and not that boss. Or maybe it's the boss. But it'll clear it up. Time with God has a way of just honing in the binoculars and making things clear, and they look like they're right in front of you. And He knows that. That's why He calls us to come to Him and spend time with Him. returning in rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. What's the root word of confidence? Confide. What's the root word of confide? F-I-D. Where we get the word fidelity. What am I saying by taking a quick glance at all those roots? What am I saying? There's a quality, fidelity. There's a quality. There's a confiding in God that'll give you a confidence when everything's going south. You with me? Returning in rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. You got to have that time alone to confide in God. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. God will tell you secrets. God will give you hints of what's coming down the pike. He'll alert you to what's going on around you. And it's the insurance policy against being deceived. Beware of deception. First thing Jesus said in Matthew 24 in regard to the last days was beware that no one deceive you. Should I be paranoid about that? It says in the last days there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It says in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days perilous times shall come. So should I be paranoid about all that? No, it's in returning and rest. It's in my time with God, my alone time with Him, that He gives me a sixth sense. Something doesn't feel right about that. You ever met a person, and as a Christian, you weren't judging them, you weren't down on them, but something just didn't feel right. And when you were in their presence, don't ignore those feelings. The Holy Spirit, when we return and rest and we're quiet before Him, He'll renew us. He'll make us keen. He'll weather us through the hardest of times. Interesting that this passage says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. But you would have none of it, verse 16. You said, no, we're going to flee on horses. Isn't that interesting? He's calling Israel to quietly come before Him. But He said, but you won't have it. You're going to do it your way. And I think that could be said to a lot of the American church. I'll do it my way. Well, okay, you can do it your way. But there's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death. There's a way that even seems right to you. I'm telling you, you don't have to agree with everything we teach here. You don't have to agree everything with the church over here and all. But you better be grounded in this. And you better be a person of prayer. I'm telling you, and I believe it's from the Lord. I'm telling you, you're not going to weather it. But you can be solid and secure and keen and wise to deception and having a sensitivity that's amazing and a compassion and mercy in a hostile world, but it'll be through the refueling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, for the gift of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Any of those traits appeal to you? Boy, those can save a marriage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He's the reservoir of that, but I got to tap into it. I got to tap into it. Returning in rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. And I paid a bit of attention to my notes, and I'm going to skip that and go to here. In Luke chapter 9, and I felt like I was supposed to go this route this morning. Could go a lot of directions from here. I'm not going to talk much longer. Luke chapter 9, it says that Jesus called His disciples in and gave them power and authority. And I think the next 5-6 minutes, I'm going to talk on this and I'm going to close. Luke chapter 9, 1-6. And I'll probably go ahead and read that. Luke chapter 9, 1-6. When Jesus called in the 12 together, He gave them power and authority. That's dunamis and exousia in the Greek. He gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. It's a walk of faith. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that house. If people do not welcome you, you know, we're not shoving this down people's throat. If people don't welcome you, then shake the dust off your feet and leave the town as a testimony against them. And they set out and went out from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now in Luke 10, he sent out 72 others. And it speaks, I'll read a little bit of that. The Lord appointed 72 others. He sent them out two by two. I want you to notice that. I want to say something to the couples in this church, especially in the women seeking God and the mentoring group. God spoke to me this week about this, that God wants to raise up couples as a team. You need each other. I think that's one reason why the attacks on so many of your marriages. There is an amazing thing that happens in twos. Once you get this, stay with me. There's an amazing thing that happens in twos. One shall put a thousand to flight, but two shall put 10,000. Now, wait a minute. One puts 1,000, then two would put 2,000. No. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. In the book of Joel, and repeated again in the book of Acts, this is very important stuff. Feel this strongly this morning. In the book of Joel, and repeated then, and quoted from the book of Joel in the book of Acts, is the passage that says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on your sons and daughters I will pour out my spirit. And God spoke to me very clearly this week that I needed to refer to Luke chapter 10 where it said go out in twos and to say something about couples in this church. And I think one of the reasons why our marriage is under attack, because in this last year, there's probably been 30 people involved and attend here in ministry where they've had huge attacks on their marriage. Because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000, and the devil knows that. And if you can get in unity with your partner, and you can return and rest, and you can get your quietness, there will be 10,000 put to flight, but the devil is out to destroy. Are you hearing me? I believe in this ministry. When marriages are melting down and relationships are a mess all over our culture, and they're changing the God-given rules for everything, we need couples who God's spirit is poured out on the son and the daughter. Are you with me? And you guys in the mentoring group, and a lot of your wives are in the Women Seeking God group. And I'm not just trying to single you out, but what you're telling me is that you're very serious. That's what I'm hearing. If you will recognize that you're fighting not, Ephesians chapter 6, you're fighting not against you're fighting not against flesh and blood. Oh, but we had an argument with each other. But there's more going on than that. The enemy knows that you've bought into a ministry here where the goal is to reach people who are desperately lost. How many of you know that's what we're about? This ministry is about reaching people who are desperately lost. It's not my business what anybody else does. We're not keeping score. But I know in the autumn season when I went and fasted and stayed in Colorado in the cabin alone in the mountains, and God spoke to me that he said that in Miami and Cass County, in this 5-county area, we were to be a lighthouse to the highways and hedges people and compel them to come in. That we were to present a gospel of mercy and starting over. Success is falling down 4 times and getting up 5 and taking people that have made a mess of their life and seen them transformed. The Lord wants you part of that. And we need couples that have good, solid marriages that are examples to others, because nobody sees any good examples. Are you with me? I want to pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters, for in the last days, he said in Joel, and also repeated in the book of Acts, then the last days I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams. And upon your sons and daughters I will pour out my spirit. Now here he sends out the 72. And he sends them out in twos. And I want you to notice verse 17. And then I'm going to close in a second. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. All right. That's what I want to go to last. When you together when you together unite, return, sit down at the kitchen table, write a schedule that's sensible. I know there's a lot to do and a lot of it's important. I understand that. I raised a family. Now I've got 8 grandkids. I understand. Work it out. You can do it. You're smart enough. You can do it. And there's always grace to do the right thing. Return. God's going to pour his spirit out on his sons and daughters. And when that happens, listen, the enemy will be subject to you. Because the biggest thing I want to say this morning, I've talked about the love, joy, peace that God can bring and the joy and the keenness, but there's something greater I want to say right now is what we need more than anything, if you forget everything else I ever said, and if I die on this trip, don't you forget this. If there's anything we need, it's authority. Exousia. Jesus called him in, gave him power and authority. Now there's a time for power. I was healed of cancer. And power is an awesome thing. But in the last days, I want to be keen to what season we're in. What you need is authority. And don't get your eyes on the wrong things. You need authority because authority pushes the enemy back. Jesus commissioned them and they came back and they said, the devils were subject to us. Sure enough, they were in your name. Where does authority come from? The root word of authority is author. And the more you know the author, the more authority you'll have. When you get to know the author and you return to him daily and you draw strength from him, the more you know the author, you'll have authority. And you don't have to jump up and down and scream and throw things to get the devil's attention. You can whisper in your hospital room and say, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. And if that's backed by quietness and time with God and relationship, God will move in an amazing way. We got a vending machine gospel today. You know what our trouble is? Stay with me. I'm going on vacation. You have to listen to me for 2 weeks. You know what our trouble is today? We want a shortcut. We want a shortcut. We want to put in a quarter and out comes God doing all this stuff for us. Pardon my English, but it ain't going to happen that way. It's in returning in rest that you will be saved. It's in quietness and confidence and alone with God that you'll draw authority. But I can preach on that with passion till I die because I know it works. I have seen it. I've had times when people making all the noise in the world, there's nothing wrong with making noise. Don't misunderstand that. And I've had times I've just knelt down in the barn next to a pile of horse manure and said, Lord, my son is in trouble. There's an evil spirit. I need your help. And I've whispered it. God showed up in an amazing way. The root word of authority is author. And if you get to know the author, you don't need to worry about persevering no matter what happens in this country. You'll come out with flying colors. And God wants to impart authority. But we got a generation that wants a shortcut. Give me this and give me this and give me this, but I don't want to have to do anything for it. Spiritually, we want a shortcut. You take your time with God. You don't need to worry. God will show up. Sorry, get so worked up. I guess I shouldn't be sorry. It's worth getting worked up about. Yeah, I need to not apologize for that. I mean it from my, every cell of my body feels what I'm saying this morning. These three passages are for us. Mentoring group, listen. These three passages, wives, listen up. I've talked to some of you about the future. We got successors. This ministry is to go on. We're to minister in hard times. Come on. I've talked to some of you already. Returning in rest, you will be saved. Quietness and confidence will be your strength. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters, on your sons and daughters. And then he sent them out 2 by 2. And they came back and said, you're right. Even the devils were subject to us. You are right. The enemy is pushed back. God's presence is strong when we return to him. I'll put this last screen up there. Seek exousia. Yes, dunamis is a wonderful thing. Don't think, God forbid, and I would feel irreverent. I would feel irreverent, and reverence is important to me. Very important to me. I believe you reverence God. He's your best friend. He's your pal. He's your bosom friend, but you reverence him. So I'm not downplaying dunamis. But I think we need to be in touch with the season we're in. There'll be times that God shows up in his power and we need that. He showed up in my hospital room and felt unworthy of that and honestly thought I was going to pass on. But he did some marvelous things and renewed my youth. We've seen the power of God. I've seen some incredible things in my lifetime, things I wouldn't even tell you. I think it would spoil it, for the secret of the Lord is with the right. Sometimes you don't tell things. But what I feel God is saying to me as a shepherd to you is that as we move into the future, into tribulation, that power, exousia, authority, we need to bring a presence, folks. Do you agree? It's getting dark. You got to bring a presence to Square D. You got to bring a presence to the airbase. You got to bring a presence to your soap opera office that you work. You got to bring a presence, and you're not going to do that unless you're returning and fueling from the Lord. Take your time with him, and he will impart to you an authority that'll have a humility to it, and tears will run down your face of thanksgiving for that. You can tell that he gives you authority, and he'll dispel the powers of darkness. He'll push back the enemy. You'll bring a presence. There'll be an absence of fear. When others are afraid, you won't be. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You'll face the valley of the shadow of death and you won't have fear. It'll break strongholds and it'll help you recognize the enemy. Those are important points. I'm going to leave those on the wall for a few minutes. I need to close. I don't think you're thinking this, but please don't view this morning as, boy, Tom does need a break. He is stressed. He raved for 35 minutes, 40 minutes. All week long, when I've said, Lord, what do I have? Trouble making notes, problem writing anything down. Every time I would say, Lord, what do you want to say to this congregation? He kept saying, in returning and rest, they'll be saved. And in quietness and confidence will be their strength. But no, some are going to say, oh, I got to run off on horses. I got too much to do. Pastor, that's a real good idea you got there, but don't count on me because I got to run off. And you know why? God's a gentleman. He'll let you run off. But I'll tell you what he will do. He'll anoint somebody else. He'll anoint somebody else. That's exactly what he'll do. He knocks at the door. He doesn't kick doors open. God's a gentleman. Devil kicked doors open. You follow the devil, you'll end up doing stuff you never thought you'd do. Devil's not a gentleman. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He calls to us. But if we don't want that, he'll put the anointing on someone else. I want it. I want it. And I think a lot of you want it. But what we need more than anything, and I believe this is true gospel truth, I believe what we need more than anything as we move into a troubled future is authority. And that comes from knowing the author. That comes from knowing the author. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. I know these are heavy things. I know we're all at different levels. May this not be offensive to anyone who's a baby Christian. I'd ask in Jesus' name that you would take what's been said and planted in our hearts. Make us the people that you want us to be. I'd ask that a number of our couples would recognize what's happening, that this is bigger than a fleshly thing. Devil wants to break down our homes, wants to break down our friendships. He knows that together we can put 10,000 to flight. We can push back the enemy with your empowerment, not our own, but yours. Lord, melt anything I've said in the flesh. I'm not aware of anything, but I believe that's possible. Melt anything I've said in the flesh, but I believe most of what I said has been in the spirit, and I would ask that would not escape, but rather take root. May no one go the condemnation route. I think a trick of the enemy is often after a forward message is devil telling us all the lacking that we have in our life and all the stuff we aren't. Help us to stay out of that muddy mire and to recognize that God's calling us to come to a higher level and he's ready to enable us to do that. We don't need to get caught up in self-condemnation. If our life isn't chaos and our life isn't what it should be, may we not get caught up in chaos of that, but rather make a decision, as simple as make a decision in the morning, it's going to be different. We're going to get on track. We're going to return to him. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.